Open up your Bibles to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. You know, we're going to talk about training our human spirit. See, we train our minds. We train our minds all the time. You know, we learn something new. That's called training your mind. And then we train our bodies to do certain tasks, and they're trained. But also, we can train our spirits. And actually, that's probably the most important thing you can train, because God made us three-part beings. We are a spirit. That's the true us. And we have a soul, and we're attached to that soul, and then we live in a body. This earth suit that we recognize is just our body. It'll perish and turn to dust, but our spirit is still going to be alive. So we're a three-part being, and our spirit is supposed to be in control. And the Bible does tell us that the just shall live by faith. In order for us to live by faith, we're going to have to train our human spirit. One thing, there's four basic things about training our spirit. Number one would be meditating in the Word of God. Number two would be practicing the Word of God. Number three would be giving the Word of God first place. And number four would be instantly obeying the voice of our spirit. As we apply these four principles to our daily lives, we can come to know the will of God in even the minor details of life. God communicates with the Spirit and not with our reasoning faculties. As we instantly obey our spirit, we will find that we are obeying the Holy Spirit. God said in His Word, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. That means that God is going to use our own spirit to guide us. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. So, let's look at this first rule, this first thing that we're talking about was meditating on the Word of God. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." After Moses died, God gave leadership to Joshua. You know, and Joshua was going to take them into the promised land. That's a pretty big task. That's big shoes to fill. And the one thing God told Joshua to do was meditate on His word day and night. That way, he would be able to deal wisely in the things of life. Certainly, you're not going to have good success if you cannot deal wisely with the things of life. God told Joshua to meditate in the Word, and that if he would do so, God would make his way prosperous, and he would have good success. The most deeply spiritual men and women that we know of give time to meditation. One cannot develop spiritual wisdom without meditation in God's Word. Now here's the thing. Some people have they've mixed up the difference between meditation and memorization. They're not the same. The Jews memorized the Bible. And it didn't do them any good because their Savior was standing right in front of them and they denied Him. But meditation, you'll take maybe just a scripture and meditate on that scripture. You'll be memorizing it, but you're going to be meditating on it so you can get it. Well, Kenneth Hagin used to call it a rhema word. You got a revelation of what that scripture means. I mean, you truly understand it. He didn't just memorize it. There's people that can quote the Bible. They have Bible contests, and they can just quote and read whole chapters from memorization. But that doesn't mean much if they don't have a revelation of what they've just memorized. And the only way to get a revelation of it is to meditate on it. You know, it may take you a long time to get to the bottom of a scripture. You know, Kenneth Hagin said he never got to the bottom of Mark chapter 11, 22, 23, and 24. And he preached on it for over 50 years. And he never got to the bottom of it. But here's the thing. The way to get it in our heart is to meditate on it and say it over and over again and hear ourselves saying it and thinking about it, pondering it, reading about it, studying it, looking at different scriptures that are similar to it, and keep meditating on that word until you get it in your heart. Once you get it in your heart, you'll know. You'll just know. You won't even have to think about it anymore up here. You'll just know it in your heart. And then it doesn't matter. The world could bombard you with a lot of fresh ideas, and your mind could be going 100 miles an hour, but you know in your heart what your scripture says, because you got it. The second part is practicing the word. Look at James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, but be ye doers. Isn't that a funny word? Be doers. Be doers of the word. And not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Practicing the word is what James called being a doer of the word. Some people think that being a doer of the word is keeping the Ten Commandments. Keeping the laws, keeping the rules. However, under the new covenant, we have one commandment, the commandment of love. If you love someone, you won't steal from him, you won't lie about him. Paul said, love is the fulfilling of the law. If you walk in love, you won't break any law that was given to curb sin. James was telling believers to do primarily what is written in the epistles, to act upon his word. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Paul was telling us to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In other words, don't fret or have anxiety about anything, but let your requests be made known unto God. Now, being a doer of the word, something will happen, and you'll do what the Bible says, to pray about it, let your request be made known unto God, and then you'll sit there and chew your fingernails. No, it says you won't have anxiety about it, you won't fret about it, you won't worry about it. You'll let your request be made known unto God, and you'll keep on doing what you got to do. Unfortunately, there's a lot of hearers of the word only. They'll shout hallelujah and they hear the word preached. They'll say, I agree with the word, I agree with the Bible, I agree with it 100%, I have faith. And then when something strikes, they have no comfort from the word, because they don't have any confidence in the word, because they haven't meditated on the word and they haven't been practicing being a doer of the word. See, it's just like everything else. It's something that you have to learn to do. People act like it's something that should just come natural, but it's something that you're really going to have to learn to do, to be a doer of the word. And it may seem kind of crazy to you at first when you decide, no, this is what the Bible says, this is what I'm going to do, I'm not going to go this other way, even though all your natural senses, everything you ever been taught, everything you ever learned says go over here, but the Bible says go over there. So you go over here anyway, and you feel kind of squirrely until you do it enough till it starts feeling natural. I think it takes something like 30 days to create a new habit. You know, to break a new habit, you got to create a new one. And it takes something like 30 days to do that. So you're not going to just snap your finger or click your heels or wave a magic wand and all of a sudden you got it. You're going to practice it. So you go out there and you start practicing the word and then you make a mistake. And you beat yourself up. And you start all over. No, you keep going. You say, okay, shrug it off and go. Keep practicing that word. Then you make a mistake again. Do you suppose God frowns on you? No. At least you're trying to practice the word. You're trying to do something. And he's going to keep bringing you forward. Don't give up. If we follow Paul's advice and do not fret or have anxiety about anything, then we can believe God for the promise of this verse right here, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, that shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So many people want this verse. They talk about this verse, but they don't want to do the verse before it. However, to receive this peace, which passes all understanding, we must be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God. I had a lady tell me one time, she said, I've been worried about you, worrying and worrying and worrying about you. I said, well, that's doing me absolutely no good. She looked at me kind of funny because she really did care a lot about me. And I said, worrying is not going to do me any good because you're not in faith. I said, we want the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. So you're going to have to just pray and believe God answered your prayer. We're right back to Mark chapter 11, 22, 23, and 24 again. Right there. We must believe that we receive when we pray. That's where the peace comes from. We've become fully persuaded that God is able to do what he said he would do. How did we get there? By meditating on that word. By meditating on his word and meditating on it and hearing it and hearing it and hearing it over and over and over and over and over again. So it may seem like it might be sound like to you like it might be redundant, but you just keep doing it. And then, you know, if you're like me, a lot of times you'll meditate on something, you'll try to figure it out, and then you'll work and you'll look at it and you'll think, am I ever going to get this? And then I'll be digging a hole with a shovel, or I'll be eating some Mexican food or doing something just completely not even related to that, and then it'll hit me. Or I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll say, oh, that's what that means. But then I got it. That's how we do that. We keep meditating on it until it strikes our heart. The next part is giving the word first place. Go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." You know, we got a lot of noises around us every day. There's voices, there's people talking, you know, there's computers, there's radios, there's TVs, there's people at the store, there's people at the post office, there's people at the gas station, there's people talking all the time. And it's often difficult to stop and listen to the voice of the Word of God. Seems like there's always somebody that has an opinion and advice. Have you noticed that? There's always somebody that has an opinion. But one essential of training our spiritual man is learning to listen to what God's Word has to say to us. It's given the Word first place in our lives. Sometimes, you know, something will happen and people will just go rattling off, just talking, have all these ideas, all these opinions, all these things they'd do if it was them doing it. And you know, they said, "Man, I heard my cousin, he did this, and this is how he did it." And then somebody else say, "Well, this is what my dad says." You know, and then somebody will say, "Well, this is that." And it's like, sometimes you got to just shut it off and try to tune in to your spirit and listen to what that still, quiet voice says. So sometimes you may have to just step away from the clatter and hear what God says. Here's the thing. That still, small voice in there, it's going to sound like your voice. This is what trips a lot of people up a lot of times. They say, "Oh, I just thought it was just me." Well, I got news for you. If God talked to you in Charlton Heston's voice, we'd probably have to chase you all the way to Marathon to get you shut down. So, I like my friend. He come up to me one day and he said, "I heard God's voice." I said, "That's cool." He said, "Yeah." I said, he walked into this nursing home and he was going to go in there and minister to people. And he said, "I heard him. This is plain as day." He said, "I'm glad you're here, Jeff." I said, "That's cool." And he kept going. And finally I kind of got caught in my spirit that he was wanting information. And I said, "It sounded just like your voice, didn't it?" And he stepped back and he said, "How do you know that?" God's going to talk to you familiar. You know, Jesus talked to farmers about sowing seed. He talked to fishermen about catching fish. He talked to sheep herders about herding sheep, carpenters about building stuff. He got familiar. He got them where they were familiar with his voice. He talked to them in a familiar tone. He'll talk to you in a familiar tone, but it's going to take getting his word inside of you so he has a vocabulary to work with. And that's the importance of the word. Getting that word inside of you, you'll have the witness of the Holy Spirit. That way, when God says something to you, you'll say, "Yeah. That's him." And go. And when the devil says something to you, you'll say, "No. That's not ringing true with my spirit." But it'll take a little bit of time to get familiar with that so you can hear the voice of God. And here's the biggie. Instantly obeying the voice of our spirit. Instantly obeying the voice of our spirit. Too many times, all of us have been guilty of this. Too many times we sat at the coffee table, having a cup of coffee, and sat there and said, you know, something told me not to do that. His name is not something. His name is Holy Spirit. And he talks to us a lot. And we hear his voice a lot. But we shrug it off. Or we say, ah, that's just me. Whatever. But when you get familiar with the Word, you'll be familiar with the voice of God. And he'll tell you, he's talking to you all the time. And here's the thing, is people are usually looking for burning bush experiences. You know, he'll talk to you about little things. I don't know how many times he's told me to get down to the goats. There's something going on. And there'd be a dog out. Or there'd be kids happening. Or there'd be something, a goat with its head caught in the fence. Something. Well, I'd be busy. I'd be doing whatever I'm doing. And I'd just get that in me saying, I gotta go. Or, gotta go home. Or, I gotta go check on this job. There's something going on. But he talks to us. But it's getting familiar with his voice so we can hear him. But then it's doing it. It's obeying it. It's going. Our human spirit has a voice. We call that voice conscience. Sometimes it's called intuition. We call it an inner voice of guidance. It is our spirit talking to us. Every man's spirit has a voice, whether he is saved or unsaved. But the new birth is the rebirth of the human spirit. As your spirit meditates upon the Word, this is where your spirit gets its information. We've got to learn to obey that spirit. Learn to obey our spirit, because that's the Holy Spirit guiding us. It just takes a little practice. And sometimes it takes a little guts. Because sometimes he'll say, go over here and witness to this person. And so we'll sit there and reason in our head on why we shouldn't go talk to that guy. But we want to be led by the Spirit. So we go. God will make sure things work out for you. Your spirit has the life and nature of God in it, for the Holy Spirit dwells within you. That's a cool thing. Holy Spirit is inside of you. He is on the outside of you. He's in you. And he's on you. When you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he comes upon you. And he's everywhere. All the time. God has to communicate with you through your spirit, because that is where he is. He isn't in your head. He isn't in your reasoning faculty. He's in your spirit. Your spirit gets its information through him. And that comes from the Word of God. Always remember this. I've talked to a lot of people that told me they heard something from God. And say, great, what do you say? And I can always tell if it's right or wrong. If it lines up with what God's Word says, then cool. But if it's not lining up with what God's word says, it's not God's voice. Some people say that conscience isn't a safe guide, but this isn't always true. The conscience is a safe guide in the spirit-filled believer because God is dwelling within him. The believer's conscience, the voice of his spirit, becomes the voice of God. God is speaking to him. See, you want to have a good conscience, and that comes from having the Word of God dwelling in you, and then you can be led by the Holy Spirit. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. God will use your spirit to guide you. He will use it to enlighten you. As your spirit meditates and feeds upon the Word, then it becomes more and more a safe guide. It is trained in the Word. See, this is why it's so important. Your spirit's going to be doing something. Your spirit's going to be listening for something. Now, if you haven't been reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, learning about Jesus, learning of Him, and learning from Him, you might hear a lot of things. And people get way off out there in left field. They heard something, but you got to understand that the devil throws these fiery darts at people. And I'm going to tell you something about the devil. He's not going to throw something horrible at you. Not at sight. He's going to throw something that catches your attention at you. See, Adam looked at that apple or that fruit, whatever it was, and he seen that it looked like it was good to eat. It looked good. People will suddenly decide they see a beautiful woman or a handsome man, and they say, "Man, that's my soulmate." I say, "Really? Where do they go to church?" "Oh, they don't go to church, but they're believers." I say, "Okay." And then they end up off out in left field. What happened? They seen something shiny and they got attracted to that and got led off into the wrong direction. They weren't listening for that voice. Those of us who have certain ministry gifts, the Holy Spirit does speak a little differently. But as a rule, in the lives of believers, the inward voice is the voice of the Spirit speaking, not just the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit often speaks to us about others. But we're not listening to Him for our own benefit. You know, sometimes God will give us a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge about somebody. This is absolutely vitally important. Just because God tells you something, that doesn't mean that you go to the printing press with it. You know, He may tell you something, and the first thing you need to do is just stop and close your mouth and ask Him, "What do you want me to do with this?" He may tell you just to pray for them. He may tell you to pray a certain way for them. He may tell you to just pray in tongues for them. Or sometimes He may tell you to go give them a message. But it's got to be His leading. It's got to be His way. As we learn to obey the voice of our spirit, we will come to the place where we know what we should do in all phases of life. The Lord will guide us. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." It's so important to just keep checking in with Him all day, every day, through your day, as you're going down the road, as you're going about your business, doing whatever it is you're doing. Ask Him about certain things. Ask Him, you know, what do you think about this? Now, sometimes, I mean, I've seen people, I've never gotten this carried away, but they said, they go shopping and they ask, "What kind of peanut butter do you want me to get, God?" Why don't you get what kind of peanut butter you like? But, you know, you could ask God what kind of a diet you need to be on, if you need a diet. Thank God He has never put me on a diet. I need one awful bad. But He may tell you, you know, you could stand to step away from the dessert tray just a little bit. You know, and then my body said, "Chocolate. I got to have chocolate. What am I going to do without chocolate?" He said, "Well, don't tell me how bad your stomach hurts when you eat chocolate then." Step away from the snack table. Amen. We can have these little conversations with God throughout the day. But the best way to learn how to be led by God is to do the first thing He tells you to do and go on with it. So, Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus. We thank You for leading us and guiding us and showing us, teaching us how to be led by Holy Spirit. Father, we thank You that You're gracious and merciful enough to teach us how to hear Your voice. And Father, we ask You in the name of Jesus that You continuously encourage us to act on Your wisdom and Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.